gracious King.
Overcome.
Father, thank you that you have provided a way for us to come to you through Jesus Christ. And thank you that Jesus is kind to us. Father, just pray that you would bless the service this morning for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Good morning, church. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite. We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Man, worship team, thank you for that. If praising and worshiping Jesus, the King, in song doesn't just give you a little bit of butterflies, I don't know what will. Thank you, guys. For call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalms 95, a couple of verses there. This past week, Bonnie and I and Grace were able to be at the beach for a few days. And as Grace and I were out there on the beach, playing in the sand, watching the ocean, I was just struck again with how awesome our Creator is and how amazing His creation is. In case you didn't know, approximately only 5% of the Earth's oceans have been explored and studied. Humans have visually explored less than 1% of the ocean floor. That's crazy. Scientists say that probably around 91% of ocean life has not even been discovered. So we're not even just the tip of the iceberg on what we know about God's creation. Psalms 95, verse 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. As we are out and seeing creation and nature and exploring, let us remember how awesome our Creator is. Ushers, if you'll come forward, today's offering is for the Congregational Operating Fund. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your house. Thank you that we can come here without fear and worship you. I just pray today over this offering that allows us to have this house. Just pray that we would use these funds to your honor and your glory here in our congregation. Just pray that you would bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In the red hymnal, the Mennonite hymnal, please turn to number 644. 644, Christ, we do all adore thee.
Michael will be bringing us the message this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for Micah. Thank you for your presence in his life. Just pray that you would be with him this morning. Guide his thoughts, his words. Help us to hear what you would have us to hear through him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Whew. That's a rough way to start off a sermon. Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 19 as we continue our series through Matthew. Matthew 19 verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, 13 through 15. The little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. That is a story that shows up in Mark and Luke as well. It's an important story. It happens towards the end of Jesus' ministry. So what is he trying to get through to us here today? As some of you know, many of you know, we are going to be having a child dedication at the end of this message. And oftentimes when someone has a child, I hear the question, well, why would I dedicate my child? Like, what really is the deal with dedicating our child? And it is easy to get into a flow of just going through tradition or what's expected of you, and you never actually take into consideration what is happening and what the significance of what you're doing has on your child's life or for you as well. And what I have found actually in child dedication is that it is a dedication of the parents more so than it is a dedication of the child. But we'll get into that as well. So is child dedication necessary, or what significance does it have? Well, we see a precedence for it in the Old Testament law. Way back when Moses got the law from God, it was required that each firstborn son be taken to the temple and be consecrated and committed, and a sacrifice be made, consecrating that child for God, for his purposes. It was a way of giving back to God the firstborn. And we see this playing out thousands of years, well, maybe 1,500 to 2,000 years later, when Jesus was taken to the temple by his parents, a sacrifice was made, and he was consecrated before God and the people. And that's where we see Simeon and Anna, who came and were waiting for the coming Messiah. They were there, and they spoke a word of blessing over Jesus, and also prophecy as well. Well, we see here in Matthew that Jesus' kingdom, the one that he has laid out for us in the first parts of Matthew, is not reserved. And we see here, as the children are coming to him, it's not reserved. His blessing is not reserved for just the oldest child. It is a blessing that is for each and every one. Are we still under the old law? Is it required that you dedicate your child to the Lord? Is it disobedience if we don't? And the answer is no, absolutely not. There are many, many, many people that will have very flourishing lives without being dedicated. But I do believe that there is power in public proclamation of vows before God and a group of people. I believe that it makes a difference in the world that we see among us and our peers. If we're committing to something and our friends see us living a different way, it's accountability. They should step in and say. But I also believe there's power in the spiritual realm that we do not see when we proclaim and commit ourselves and our children to the work of God. I believe in our culture, children is something that is often forgotten as a gift of God. That a child is often seen as something we'll do when we're ready, an inconvenience that we simply can get a babysitter or we are financially able to take care of this child. It's seen as something that we plan out and something that is seen as almost a sacrifice to have a child. We make plans about how old we'll be and how many children that we'll have, not considering that we have, and this is a big point, we have no power to create life. We have no power to create life. And if we truly understand that, we will understand that a tremendous blessing that a child is. Krista and I learned this early on in marriage. Earlier than we were hoping, we found out that Krista was pregnant. And it was, I remember there being tears, and we're not ready for this, and this was not in the plans. But quickly, probably within a day or so, we were excited about it. And we started telling our friends and our family, we're going to have a baby. Well, within just a couple weeks, that child was lost to miscarriage. And the way we thought about pregnancy changed a little bit. There was a disappointment. Something that we had taken for granted that we could just always have a child was suddenly that child was taken from us, and there was disappointment. And kind of humbling to go back and be like, yeah, actually, we're not going to have a child after all. Before we had gotten married, we talked about how many children we would have and when we would have them. And I wanted 6 kids and she wanted 4 kids. And we would wait a couple years and have children. So after that first miscarriage, we decided, well, we're just going to go ahead and start. Because we had our heads wrapped around the idea of having a baby. So now let's go ahead. And we were blessed with a son, Lincoln. And everything was great. Then we had another child 2 years later. His name was Truman. And he was born normal, but had a genetic disorder. And we lost him at 4 months old and found out he was diagnosed at a month old that he had a disease and that we would be losing him. And he died at 4.5 months old. Well, our perspective changed on the blessing of a child through that process. Facing the reality that we would be losing there was a 1 in 4 chance that we'd be losing all future children, and that there was a 50% chance that our child would be carrying this disease, caused us to think and to cry out to God. And through the process of Truman, just crying out to God, because there was nothing that we could do. There was no power within ourselves to make this child live. And then after he died, there was no power in us to cause success in the children that we were to have in the future, and we really considered not having any more children. Our casual attitude towards having children suddenly became much more serious. Suddenly, we found ourselves completely powerless. And the reality of it is, each and every one of you are completely powerless to create life. And our gratitude for 2 healthy daughters was completely different than our attitude was for 2 healthy sons, for a son, and the miscarriage that we had in the beginning. Because we understood that children were a gift from God. We see this playing out in the Old Testament with Hannah. Probably the most common passage ever used when it comes to child dedication is Hannah. She was unable to have children, and she was oppressed by her husband's other wife and made fun of her and oppressed her, and she was so discouraged and depressed that she cried out to God, Lord, please give me a son, and I will give him back to you. There are some of you here today that long to have a child, that long to be able to hold a baby in your arms that is your own, but have not received that blessing from God. And that is hard to understand. It was hard for Hannah to understand the scripture. And I don't have the answers for that. But I recognize that children are a gift from God. And we are to be called to be a good steward of them. And just as we see in this passage in Matthew, Jesus cares about the children. And he blesses them. And no matter how old your children are, or maybe you're not able to have children, until you dedicate and surrender them or yourselves to Jesus and release them into his control, there is a blessing that neither you nor they can receive. I'm reminded of the message Mike preached maybe 2 weeks ago. It was on the rich young ruler. And if you remember, he had his hands behind his back clutching the money. it is really easy as a parent to clutch, or as someone who is unable to have children, to clutch that desire in your hand and grasp on and hold on so tight. But yet, there is tremendous freedom when you release your child, when you release your desires, when you surrender your will to the headship of Jesus Christ, then true blessing can flow, whether or not your prayer is answered or not. And I just encourage you, release your children, release your desire, because there is no power within ourselves to have life, to give life, but there's no power in ourselves to offer eternal life as well. We give eternal life, the message to our children, but it takes the work of the Holy Spirit in each of their lives to receive it. The second thing we see here in this passage in Matthew is this idea of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says this, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And Mark, he adds on to this and says, and he calls it the kingdom of God, but it's the same thing. "I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." We're not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, because we've talked a lot about it as we've preached through Matthew. But I do want to say, this idea of the kingdom of heaven is an upside-down kingdom. In the world, it's the smart, it's the athletic, it's the educated, it's the powerful, that those are the ones that are exalted and lifted up and considered the ones who are worth fighting and worth receiving honor and prestige. But in the kingdom of heaven, it is the weak, it is the humble, it is the meek that Jesus proclaims will be exalted. Who is more dependent, but yet as confident as a child is in their parent, in those around them? I have experienced with my children, they'll come home from school, and if they respect a teacher, I mean, every single word that teacher says is the gospel truth, whether or not I think it is or not. No, this teacher said it was, so it is. There is a blind faith because there is a trust that has been brought. And that is the faith. That is the trust. That is the honor that Jesus Christ is calling us to here in the kingdom of heaven. There's also an invitation in this. If you are a person who feels like, "I don't know how to follow Jesus. I don't know how to conquer this sin. I don't know how to walk as the scripture speaks, but I desire to." The kingdom of heaven is just for you. You are just the kind of person that Jesus talked about. I thought back to a passage in Luke where there are two men. The one is highly esteemed. He's called a Pharisee. A Pharisee was kind of like the teachers and the preachers, the experts on the law. And the Pharisee stood, and he knew all the scripture, right? He just said, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like this poor sinner over here who's struggling and doesn't know the law and doesn't follow the plans that you would have for his life and has an exalted view of himself." But yet there was another man, a tax collector, the lowest among them, the one who was rejected by society, who society said had no value. In fact, you despised them. And that tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even lift his head to heaven, but he just said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus proclaimed that there was one person who walked away justified. If you're here this morning and you're brokenhearted, Jesus wants to come into the brokenness and restore the brokenhearted. Who do you see yourself as in that story? Do you see yourself as the righteous who looks at the world and sees broken people and just says, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like them. Thank you that I don't have dirt on my hands." Or are you a broken sinner, because you are, who calls out and cries out, "Lord, I need you. I have nothing to bring. I have nothing of value. Save me, a sinner. We are called to live lives that are righteous from the inside out. In our religious cultures, it's so easy to get into a pattern of living righteousness from the outside in. I encourage you this morning, let Christ transform your life. Become a part of the kingdom of heaven, the upside down kingdom. My last point, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are called to be people of blessing. It's easy to look at this passage and see people bringing their children to Jesus and thinking, well, that's cool. It was Jesus. But I believe that we are to be Jesus to those in the hurting in our communities. 1 Peter 3 says this, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. If you desire to be blessed by God, and we're not talking about material blessing, we're talking about spiritual blessing. If you desire to receive his blessing, you must be a blessing to those around you. My mind goes to the passage in Matthew 23 where Jesus warns his followers about the Pharisees who we just talked about, who were the influencers, the spiritually mature among them. But it talks about how they would tie up spiritual burdens around the necks of those who didn't know. And they would enforce their traditions upon those who did not weren't as mature in their faith. It says here in Matthew 23, verse 4, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put on them the other on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. It's easy to condemn the Pharisees and be like, yeah, bad guys. But yet I find myself often doing the exact same thing as they did. This has been a good test for me. I don't think I've ever said this here. Maybe I have, I don't know. But I've really been convicted in the last year or so about my attitude, my Pharisee heart towards people. And I guess the Holy Spirit just gave me this test of what do you see, as you're looking over a crowd of people? And I've really studied that in my own life. What do I see when I look at you, when I go to Walmart, when I go to wherever it may be? What do I see in the people around me or when I meet somebody new? Do I notice all their flaws? Do I see the areas that don't match up to what I think that they should be living? That I have a better plan for their life than they do. Do I see all the areas that they need to grow in their convictions? Or do I see a person who is created in the image of God, who God calls to come to him, into his kingdom? Do you look for opportunities? Do I look for opportunities to speak blessing on people? Or do I look for a quiet place with friends that I can gossip about how everybody else is failing in their lives? If God looked at you in the way you look at others, would you be blessed or would you be condemned? We have whole books of the Bible. I was thinking of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, where there's a more mature believer, Paul, a matured church leader who's blessing a younger church leader and saying, carry on what has been started in you. Press in. Be wise. Do this. Do that. And it's a blessing from an older, more mature man. And if you're older here this morning, as in 20 and over, there's somebody in your life that you should be blessing. It's not just an old person thing. But it does mean a lot when there's a word of blessing spoken. I was just thinking, just now, somebody in this congregation a few weeks ago wrote a letter to, I think, each of us pastors of blessing and encouragement. And I don't know there's that to me was just one of the most powerful blessings that I've received. Just a word of blessing, a word of affirmation, a word of not you're perfect, but it's God has working through you. Thank you for that. And you are called to do that. I am called to do that for others as well. This shouldn't be just a rare occurrence that happens. We are called to be people of blessing. In Proverbs 18, it says, the tongue has the power of life and the power of death. I want you to consider this as we prepare to dedicate these children. And as we think about being people of blessing to our communities, what if, and this is for you to think about for yourself, not people bringing them to me, but people coming to you. What if the community brought their children and maybe even themselves to you to bless them because they recognized that there was an authority and a power in you and on your life that they desire to have on themselves and within their children's lives? Is that unrealistic? Is that something that, yeah, that's cool, but not going to happen? I don't believe so at all. In fact, I believe we should expect it to happen. And if it's not happening in your life, you should ask God, why not? What if the community brought to you themselves and their children to bless them because they recognized that there was an authority and a power within you, because you, there is. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the authority. You have the power to be a blessing and speak life and truth into the people of your influence. We are called to dedicate and surrender our plans and our children to Jesus. We are called to live with a kingdom of heaven mindset. And we are called to be people of blessing, bringing the blessing of Jesus to each of those in our influence and in our communities. I invite you to pray with me. Father, these are nice thoughts. I don't think that probably anybody here disagrees with them. But yet, it's easy for me to leave here unchanged, to continue on in my critical mindset, to continue to see myself as spiritually mature, and to look down on those who you're not finished with yet. And Lord, I thank you so much that you're not finished with me yet either, or anyone here this morning. Father, each of us need your touch. We need your grace. We need your blessing on our lives. We commit ourselves to you. I commit myself to you, Lord. I desire to be in your headship. I desire to be within your will. I thank you that you are a father who speaks blessing. No matter what kind of father we had in this world, Lord, you are a father who delights in us, who celebrates in us. And you find great favor in us as we follow you and surrender to your kingdom and your plan. Lord, help us to not just be speakers of your word and hearers, but may we be doers as well. We pray for each of the children that are going to be dedicated this morning, Lord. Thank you for new life. We thank you that we don't have the power of life and death. But Lord, may our plans be surrendered to yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite those who are going to be dedicating their children to come forward at this time. Sickness is going around. So we are 50% of the people that we're going to be dedicated this morning. Well, maybe we're 0%. if you desire, we're going to be having another child dedication. If you would desire to dedicate your child to the Lord, it doesn't have to be a baby, we would invite you to do so. We have invited each family to say a couple words, then I'll ask them some questions. And after that, I'll invite those who are going to be praying a prayer of dedication over these children to come forward at that time.
Hello, church. So I'm Adam, and this is my wife, Charlotte, and our two kids, Ezra and Selah Marie. Charlotte and I like names that have a bit of meaning. So if you don't know, Selah is a word that means, it's in the Bible, in Psalms and Habakkuk, and it's actually a little unclear about what it means, but people think it's a musical term that goes at the end of a verse or something that means to pause and think or reflect about what you just sang or talked about or read. Our prayer for Selah is that she could grow up to be a thoughtful woman who can reflect on things well. And please pray for Charlotte and me that we can raise our children to love God and to love people, and that we can be a family that blesses people around us, like you said, Micah. So thank you all.
Good morning, church. This is Bria Haven, and she's the prayed-for girl, often thought of Hadassah in the Bible when we were in UVA. We spent 21 days in the NICU. We originally had her. We went into to be induced at RMH, and 24 hours at the point where we were getting ready to be released, her blood sugars had still not normalized, and they shipped us off, and it, as Micah was stating, it brings a whole new perspective when you see your child in that little incubator and they're out of your control and you really just, you're at loss of what to do and how to do it. But she's been a very prayed for girl. Her name is, was given to her maybe an hour before she was born. We were really struggling. And true story, with both our boy and girl names, I loved her name so much. I wanted to, we didn't know what we were having, but I was like, I want to have a girl because I love her name so much. Bria is a form of Gabriel, believe it or not. Gabriel. And God is my strength, man of God, woman of God, and it's really been a source of comfort. Her middle name, Haven, is just a place of rest, you know? And in sitting in the hospital, I was looking all these things up, and Showalter is guardian. So we just expect the Lord to work through her life. She's a neonatal diabetic, and it's an extremely rare case. She has an insulin pump, and a monitor on her that kind of drips stuff to her as she needs it. And we are in prayer that she will grow out of it within 3 to 18 months. So a prayer would be that that could be sooner than later, because she is unethically supposed to not have this pump, because this does not happen. And it's, they've just had to do stuff. The doctors told me there's things you can do on paper, but there's also things we can tell you, and we're telling you it's going to work. So she's under the radar, but just pray that she would stabilize and her pancreas would begin to develop what she needs, please. Thank you, church.
All right, I'm going to ask each of you three questions. Do you recognize this child as a gift from God and give praise to God for this blessing? Do you dedicate this child to the Lord, the one who created them and entrusted them into your care? Do you reject all worldly and demonic claims upon their lives and declare that they belong wholly to the care of Jesus Christ and his work in their life? Do you pledge with God's help to bring up this child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every effort to cultivate in this child a heart to know God, to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, and to see their need for Jesus?
Yes.
All right, I invite those who will be praying to come forward, and I actually do need a mic up here. Let's pray together.
Lord, we believe that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is your reward. So we thank you, Lord, for children, for these children here, for these rewards of life and abundance and heritage. And we pray your blessing on them. We pray for Selah Marie here specifically. We pray that you would bless her and be with her. May your presence and grace abound upon her. May you, your love enclose her and encompass her. We pray for Adam and Charlotte as they nurture her and train her. We pray for discipline and fortitude and wisdom. And we pray that they could train her as they requested, that she could grow up to be a discerning young lady who loves God and loves people. We pray that Charity and Adam could be discerning as well as they negotiate the challenges of raising children in this wicked and unseemly world. And we pray, Lord, that young Selah could grow to know the difference, the sharp contrast and difference between righteousness and evil, between light and darkness, between truth and error. But most of all, we pray that she would come to know Jesus as her Savior and Redeemer. We also pray for the extended family, for uncles, aunts, for cousins, siblings, grandparents, as they also participate in one way or another in nurture and training. We pray for the church here at Dayton that you would bless them in their large ministry to children. We pray this in Jesus' name.
All right. Tabria. There is a special kind of peace that comes from a home rooted in faith. And if you look at your parents, you can see it. They carry a faith-filled ambition paired with a calm rest that comes from knowing you are deeply loved by God. My prayer for you today is that the same light that shines so brightly out of them becomes the very thing that shapes your life. I think of a light post. It doesn't scream for attention. It simply stands tall, remains steady, and pushes back the darkness so others can find their way. This is my hope for you, that you would know God's love so intimately that you can't help but reflect it to everyone you meet. When the world feels loud and overwhelming, I want you to remember these promises. In 1 John 4, you, dear child, are of God and have overcome, because the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. In Psalm 91, Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So let him be your fortress, trust in him, and stand tall like that light post.
We all said, amen. Amen. I invite you to stand, and Joe will come lead us in some singing. Thank you, brother.
Okay, again in your Mennonite hymnal, please turn to number 335. 335, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
And please turn to number 544. 544. Blessed Assurance.
Announcements. Marvin, I believe, has an announcement about event for the jail.
Yes, I wanted to verbally draw your attention to an event we're having March 7th here Saturday evening at 6:30. We're having a music concert put on by the Deans. Anybody know the Deans or heard them? Yeah, quite a few of you. I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it. It's a fundraiser for the jail chaplaincy. I wouldn't have enough time to stand here and tell you how much good Baker Rigg is doing in the jail. The little bit that I get sometimes that I have the privilege to go in and give the message to the inmates, when I mention, do you know there's a chaplain here? They're like, their eyes light up. Some of them know, most of them don't. How can we get a hold of them? Well, they can. So his work is very important, and we're wanting to be a part of raising funds for him so he doesn't have to worry about that. So anyway, it is going to be the March 7th. It's only in 2 weeks, Saturday evening, 6:30. The doors open at 5:45. It's a community event. Let your friends know, especially those not, maybe not of this congregation. By the way, this congregation is really generous when it comes to giving you this. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Buff sent an announcement. Vaughn Martin will be speaking here in the auditorium next Sunday, March the 1st, during the Sunday school hour. He's going to be talking about the spiritual battle going on in America, discussing a number of worship and prayer events planned in D.C. and other cities this summer. A lot of stuff going on in America, especially this year with the 250 years, so that's exciting to see stuff like that being planned. This week, we have the Meat Canner, February the 24th, I believe that's on Tuesday morning, 5:45 start time. It's at the Hinton Mennonite Relief Center. Tuesday is the DMC's scheduled day to be there. I'm sure they could use help any day, but that's our scheduled day. Also, Friday is a community day, and they usually need help early, I believe. There's a poster on the back community board there with more information if you're interested on that. Ladies night, Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Anybody else have anything that they need to announce? All right, let's stand for the closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we could gather together, worship you, build each other up. God, just so thankful for our church here, our families, the children. Today, as we dedicate two children to you, and we know that there's so many more children and parents here, and this goes for each and every one of us here as we endeavor to raise our children for you. Just pray a prayer blessing over each child here. And the children throughout our community as well. Help us to be a blessing to them as well. God, just pray for the people in our community and in our church that are sick, dealing with illnesses. God, you know all of those requests. We just continue to pray that your hand would be in those situations, that you would give healing and peace to those families. Praise you for the miracles that you have performed in lives in our community and church family as well, of healing and bringing those people health. God, I just pray for us as Christians and our nation, as our nation deals with significant unrest and just polarizing opposites. God, I pray that we would understand our role as Christians here on this earth is to bless people, to speak truth to people, and to shine your light to those around us, that we wouldn't get caught up in one side or the other, but that we would realize that our kingdom is not of this world. God, I just pray for our government, that you would guide their thoughts. Pray that they would look to you for strength, look to you for decisions, and allow you to guide them. God, I just pray that as we leave here today, that we would shine your light and that we would make you known to those people throughout the world, and especially those that we are in close contact with, that we could show them you through our lives, that they would see that and want that in their own lives. God, just thank you most of all for the gift of salvation through Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.